joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. Thanks be to God. Different text. You did not choose me, but I chose you. No offense, but if I were left to my own devices, I would likely not be friends with you. And if left to your own devices, you likely would not be friends with me. By definition and design, the church is an unlikely, sometimes even an unlikable gathering of people who have only one thing in common. God has called each of us out of ourselves and into Christian community through God's word to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who calls us friends if we do what he commands, if we love one another as he has loved us. Jesus chose us. We did not choose him, that we may love one another. After last Saturday night, not this past, a week ago Saturday night, who else should I quote in support of this truth but Dietrich Bonhoeffer? It's kind of in joke for those who are there. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ, Bonhoeffer said. And he said this of the church to a gathering of seminarians in the Confessing Church's seminary at Finkenwald. For eternity, we have been chosen in Christ and have been given to each other in time by him to be the church. Still, we act in time as if we are the ones doing the choosing. Then we judge the church God has given us against our idea of what the Christian community should be, or what kind of people should belong, or what members should believe, or do, or look like. When we love our dream of Christian community more than the Christian community itself, Bonhoeffer says, we become destroyers of that Christian community, even though our personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial. Nadia Goldsweber, a tattooed from top to bottom Lutheran pastor of the House for All Saints and Sinners in Denver, tells about the Sunday when her quirky congregation doubled in size and then continued to grow because of a feature story about the church in the Denver Post. We knew that given the exposure, there would be some looky looks. People just seeing what the House for All Saints, Sinners and Saints was about out of curiosity. But what we didn't realize was that they were going to stay and that they wouldn't look like us. I wanted us to be bigger. What I wasn't prepared for was for us to be different. Many people don't read the papers, she goes on. We get our news online from NPR. Who does read the paper are 50-year-olds from the suburbs. And that's mostly who showed up Christians have reacted to the material movement of God's Spirit from the beginning. The first Christians were Jews who believed Jesus had been raised by God from the dead, and so were baptized. Still, they continued to circumcise male offspring, follow dietary laws, and live in obedience to Torah, even as they confessed Jesus as Lord and celebrated Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week. They could have continued as a Christian sect of Jews only, but for the fact that God's Spirit inexplicably began falling upon Gentiles. Unclean, impure Gentiles. I think that could have today given our national embrace of politically incorrect speech, filthy, stinking Gentiles. The details of this turn in the road are as follows. First, God's Spirit visits a Roman soldier, a God-fearer, a Gentile who believes in the God of Abraham, named Cornelius. The Spirit tells Cornelius to send for Peter over in Jerusalem. He's in Caesarea. Simultaneously, Peter has this wild dream in which animals that do not belong together are missing and on a sheet. A voice says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter responds that he has never eaten anything that is profane or unclean. The voice says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." A knock at the door by Cornelius' men wakes Peter from the dream, and the Spirit orders Peter to go with them. The next day, Peter and six members of the church depart. When Peter arrives at Cornelius' house, Peter suddenly gets that the dream was not about unclean food, but about unclean people. The voice says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." God is doing the choosing. Peter enters the house and says, "You yourselves know how that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean." Cornelius then tells Peter they are there to listen to all that the Lord has commanded Peter to say. So Peter begins to preach, and in the middle of his sermon, right where our lesson begins this morning, the Holy Spirit falls upon all who hear God's word. The six circumcised believers cannot believe the Holy Spirit is falling on even the Gentiles. The water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have, Peter asks. And he baptizes the lot. Well, by the time the seven returned to Jerusalem, the council had heard all about this irregularity. They said they were angry because the circumcised were at table with the uncircumcised. Sorry about this detail. But they actually were enraged at Peter for baptizing those filthy, stinking Gentiles. Just like Nadia, their inclusive congregation were irritated that suburbanites and dockers had invaded their countercultural congregation. Presbyterians in South Carolina were murderously incensed when their minister invited Black Presbyterians to worship with them. Just like straight Presbyterians all take you Presbyterians into leadership through the voice of the church. So, the Jerusalem Council thought they were the ones doing the choosing. My words. The Spirit's greatest challenges in any age are loosening the church's grip on the way things have been to receive God's future and opening insiders' hearts to welcome the outsider. Nadia scheduled a meeting for the church to talk about the sudden growth and demographic changes. The secret plan was that the people with tattoos and addictions, the drag queens and transgender kids, would say who they were and what the church has always been about, so that the new people who really didn't belong would self-select out, realizing that this church was not really meant for them. Just before the meeting, Nadia called a colleague who said to her, "Nadia, you guys are really good at welcoming a stranger when it's a young transgender person. But sometimes the stranger looks like your mom or dad." She was furious and wanted to hang up, except she could feel actual blood and love pumping through her body for what felt like the first time in weeks. Without anesthesia or a sterile environment, she said, God reached in, ripped out my heart of stone, and replaced it with a heart of flesh. When the day of the meeting arrived, a 73-year-old Episcopal deacon said that she knew she was a bit older than most, but that this was the place she could pray and be herself. A Brownie leader, who had been driving 45 minutes from the suburbs, said she wasn't sure she fit in the church, but she knew the drive was worth it to feel as close to God as she did. Then Asher spoke up. As the young transgender kid who was welcomed into this community, I just want to go on record and say that I'm really glad there are people at the church now who look like my mom and dad, because I have a relationship with them that I just can't with my own mom and dad. Goes without saying, Nadia concludes, that the house for all sinners and saints is stronger now because of these newcomers. You can look around at the 120 or so people gathered on any given Sunday and think, I'm unclear what these people have in common with each other. Out of the corner of your eye, there's a homeless guy serving communion to a corporate lawyer. And out of the other corner is a teenage girl with pink hair holding the baby of a suburban soccer mom. And there I was, a year ago, fearing that the weirdness of our church was going to be diluted. The Holy Spirit has fallen on them just as it had on us. Beginning, Peter testified. If God gave them the same spirit God gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? The council was silenced. This is the story of two conversions, two changes of heart. Two peoples who would never choose each other unless they were chosen by God in Christ to be the church. Christian communion is not an ideal we have to realize, Bonhoeffer concluded. more calmly we learn to think about our community's future and pray and hope for it. It suddenly struck me that Bonhoeffer's words were addressed not to members of the church, but to preachers like me and Nadia. Thanks be to God.